Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to Cosmopolitan's All The Way With. I'm Laura Capon.
I'm Pacey Gilmore, and this week we'll be joined by Madame Li Ying, who is a dominatrix who specialises in medical fetishes.
I am so excited. How long have I been asking you
that
we can have a dominatrix on?
Every week I'll get a slack from LC. Have you found a dominatrix yet? And I'll be like, I'm just looking for the right one, and I've found her.
Because to Pacey, she's like, oh, I don't know why you're interested. It's like nothing. And to me, I'm like, wow.
That's why together we make the perfect couple. Anyway, no, we don't.
But before we talk about spanking or whatever,
yes,
that's all I imagine they do, but we'll find out. I want to talk about single shaming. Mm-hmm. Because me and my friends were talking, and this is always going to sound tragic because I feel like I always say in our intros, I had a cry, but this time it actually wasn't me. Me and my friends, she was like, oh, I actually had like a big cry the other day. And then my friend said she had a cry the same day, kind of about being single and like just that. Oh, I feel like no one ever feels sorry for you when you're single. They just question you.
Mm-hmm. Right. So hang on. So what was she? Hang on. You've started like, telling an anecdote and then you've said nothing and asked me a question. Why was she sad? What were her?
She just said that she was thinking about the fact that like, she's still single, that she just really wants, she's where companionship, which made me feel really sad. And just, you know, when you go back and think about all the times you've been used, you know how we love to like replay those things in our head.
Yeah.
But just how hard it is now to meet someone and like, why is that? Like, why is it so hard? Like, it shouldn't have to be this hard. And we also said how for some people it seems to come so easily to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then along that line, we were saying it's really hard because, and I don't want this to sound negative because I'm aware that it can, but I feel like as a single person, you constantly are celebrating people in relationships' success.
Yeah. You mean like engagements and...
Yeah, buying a house.
Moving in together.
Having a baby. And it's really hard because I genuinely am. I don't want it to seem like I'm not happy for those things because I am, but I think it's hard.
I totally get that. Do you know what? I've never thought of that before, but what's the alternative for single people? Like, we don't get to, I mean, maybe if you move into your own place when you're single, you still get to have a party, but you don't get as many celebrations because they're not recognized in the same way as, because like being in a couple and being in love and meeting those milestones is portrayed as like the ultimate goal in life, which is just obviously not true.
And even like not even just the celebrations part, you know, like if you meet some people, say like more acquaintances or friends you haven't seen for a while and they're kind of like they've settled down and maybe they have children. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes having a conversation with them, I find it really hard because it's like because I've got no major milestones to discuss. I feel like I have nothing to say and I feel like they just have nothing to ask me. And it's just horrible. I can't. Have you ever had that with someone where you just feel like they're like, so we're doing this to the house?
Yeah. And you're like, or I don't know. I was talking about this with my friend the other day, who's my age, 31 and also recently single. So we're like loving our single in our 30s lives. But a lot of our friends are coupled up in relationships. And we were saying how we feel like we can't sometimes talk to them about what's going on with us in our lives because they kind of put their
viewpoint, opinion.
Yeah. So we'll be like, yeah, we'll be like, oh, we're just dating this person. Nothing's going to happen with them, but it's just fun. And they'll be like, oh, but shouldn't you really be looking for some-? Like, they're judging us by their standards, and it's quite hard to,
yeah,
does that make sense?
And I feel like some people always say like, no, like, I love to hear about your life, like, it's more exciting than mine, like my mum mm-hmm. life kind of thing. But then I don't know, I feel like I constantly have to like prove that I am like older, because I feel just like, because I'm not in a relationship, I'm like behaving like a teenager.
Totally get that. So single shaming, I spoke to the dating expert at Match, Hayley Quinn, about this. And she said, single shaming comes from the idea that being single is somehow lesser to being in a relationship. And she said, like, other people can single shame you. Like, say you go to a family party and everyone's like, oh, haven't you met anyone yet? Have you got a partner yet? Blah, blah, blah. You can also do it to yourself, because obviously we've internalized all those messages yeah. as well. And I think maybe that's what you're saying at the beginning, like, are your friends single shaming themselves?
Yeah, I think I'm single shaming myself.
Are you? But do you feel yeah. like you're lesser than because you haven't found a partner yet?
No, not. I know that I don't, but when I'm with certain people, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Is that allowed?
Yeah, of course.
I love that I'm asking your permission to be sad about myself. Am I allowed?
No, you totally can. And also, on the flip side, people are always like, you should be so happy being single. You've got to be independent and get on with your life and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, also, if you do genuinely want a partner, there's no shame in saying, I want a partner and I want to be in a relationship. Like, we often take it too far yeah, down the self-partnered route, you know? It's like,
and also, sometimes it's draining being independent. I want to be codependent.
Do you know what? I'd love someone to cook me dinner.
I mean, sick to be fair, sick. Now I'm back at home, I'll send Mick round. That's my dad.
That's my dad.
That's what I mean. But maybe I'm triggered because Melon, my brother, who, if you remember from that previous episode, won't even write my nan a birthday card, has started dating. And I think it's just brought up all this like single shaming
mm-hmm.
feelings and thoughts. But it's quite nice to know that my friends also feel it.
Yeah, you're definitely not alone in that. And we know loads of our listeners and readers feel the same. So maybe we finish on a quote from Hayley, the dating expert, who says, recognizing your need for intimacy, and not just the sexy kind, but the emotional kind, she said, is normal. And it's normal to desire more meaningful connections. So don't be hard on yourself if you spend time like yearning for intimacy and wanting a partner. There's nothing wrong with that.
Hayley, yearning for intimacy, that should be on my tombstone.
I think she heard about your dolphin dream.
No, don't bring that. Don't dolphin shame dream me.
Okay. On to the spanking.
We're joined today by Madam Lee, a dominatrix specialising in medical fetishes. She loves dominating men from her very own dungeon, equipped with a dedicated medical room, from nipple torture and foot worship to water sports. She makes all their fantasies come true. Madam Lee, I am so excited to talk to you.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for coming.
No, thank you for being here. I don't know where honor. To start.
We're like too excited, we can't get our words out.
I'm shell-shocked. So I guess, how did you become a dominatrix?
It was long time ago, probably around year 2002 or year 2003. I was living in Hong Kong back then.
Yeah.
And the fetish scene in Hong Kong is very small. I came across a shop that sell latex, sex toys, and stuff like that.
Like a sex and shop kind of thing.
It's like a sex shop, but I've never seen latex outfit before.
Okay.
So that's really interesting. But you know, normally sex shop sells dildos and, you know, whatever.
Videotapes.
But
it got,
yeah, videotapes. Just like any sex shops you see in Soho. But that they introduced me to the dungeon. They have two rooms there. And the very well-equipped, very well-decorated dungeon with leather furnitures and stuff. I've never seen anything like that before. And that opened my eyes. And they invited me to the party. So my very first fetish party was in Hong Kong. And they didn't know what to wear, so I wore some lingerie. And I went on my own.
And I love that.
I saw a girl, a lady, wearing a black latex uniform with a cap, you know, that's latex police woman uniform.
Mm.
And she was talking to a gimp. Like,
sorry.
have a gimp, a boy, yeah, with collar, with a hood, and he was on all fours, and she looked very serious, and she looked stern. Oh, she's incredibly beautiful. And, then that moment, I wanted to be like her. So, yeah, that planted the seed for me to be being a dominatrix.
So I'm guessing, had you always been like open about sex? Because I guess for someone like me, who is, you'll find me so boring, Madam Lee. Like that whole, like how you first, like you were just in the sex. Have you just always been, from like when you were younger, just very open and always wanted to work in that field?
No, I'm very bold person. I am adventurous. I like to try new things. My teenage sex was very boring. It's very vanilla. So, did I answer your question? Am I allowed?
Yeah, but then how did you go from the boring and the vanilla to
I'm going to a sex party. I'm loving that gimp. Yeah.
Oh well, I'm very adventurous, and that looks exciting to me.
Okay.
You know. Yeah. And I'm always open about sex jokes and. You know, very when people talk about adult stuff, I'm just very open about it. But I've never seen anything like that before. Have you ever gone, like, walk into a shop and then, this is it. I want to shop here.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I feel like it's completely different from my job at Cosmo. When I did work experience there, I was like, this is it, I want to work here. So I can totally relate to that feeling of like, oh, you finally have found somewhere that you belong.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And that started my journey as a dominatrix. So I didn't become a pro just that. I participated and talked to people and watched, you know, until I stumbled across a website. It's called Skin to Rubber Ball.
Skin to Rubber Ball. Okay.
Yeah, it's called Skin to Rubber Ball. I don't think it is running now, but back then it's a big thing in London, and I flew from Hong Kong to London just to attend the parties. I think it used to be like a weekend thing, and that even opened up me more to what SM's like.
Did you then like train as a dominatrix? Is there like an apprenticeship? Is there work experience? How do you
apprenticeship?
How do you get your certificate in domination?
I didn't get a certificate in domination, but I think a golden whip. Yes, I think in America, people do give certificates to like graduate doms.
Yeah,
I'm not sure about here. Well. How I started, I bought a book. It's called The Dominatrix by Mrs. Chloe.
Mm-hmm.
She's retired now. And then I liked the book so much, I finished it, I think, within a week. Then I wanted to meet Mrs. Chloe. So I contacted her for training. And then I flew from Hong Kong to London to train with her So I was sort of back and forth from Hong Kong, London, Hong Kong, London, and attending parties. And then I started to see clients.
What did the training involve? What was she teaching you?
Foot worship. I remember the very first thing, foot worship, slave training.
Yeah.
And then start using implements, like using toys like floggers, how to use a crop, and how to use, like how to do spanking and stuff like that.
Was she showing you on you? Was she like spanking you to show you how to do it? Or did you have like people to test on?
Yes, she showed me on her slave.
Ah.
Yeah. So me, her, we got a slave in front of us. And then she just showed me what to do.
So sorry, just the slave. can you just explain that to someone? Again, very vanilla like me, like Madeline Lee, you will. I am your boring teenage sex. What is a slave?
Well, in BDSM world, there are submissives, which is they submit to you. They are more
they like to be overpowered, right? Submissives, or is that
yes, they like to be overpowered by women.
Yeah.
There's submissives, slaves, bottoms, or kingsters.
So what's the difference between a slave and a submissive? Are they
slaves, they have contracts, or to be very honest, I mean, the people who are submissives and slaves, they always blend the two together. To me, slaves, they usually have a contract with the mistress. They serve one mistress, and they are usually owned by the mistress, or we call it the collared. That's a ritual.
And I guess they just do whatever they're told to do or whatever they're made to do.
Yeah, yeah. A slave is more is obedient. They cannot negotiate. A slave has basically give up his rights to the dominant in a DNS relationship. Okay, a submissive still retained some rights within the context of the DNS relationship.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
So yeah, so although a submissive to submit to the dom, being controlled by the dom, but they still can negotiate their limits, their maybes, you know, but they are not the boss. A slave basically given up everything to the dom.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I love that.
And
love the sound of that.
Yes. And in effect, they are property of the dom.
Very nice. So you trained, how long did you train with them?
About 6 months, because it's quite expensive. Well, it's not within 6 months. I flew back and forth probably about a year.
Mm-hmm. And then you were a professional dominatrix.
Well, back then, I needed to... When I look back... back then, it wasn't very professional, but I was, okay, it's like a fresh grad, okay? It's like a fresh grad. I still need, but the way I learn is to go out, see clients, watch other people play, and learn from it.
I think that's the same with all jobs, though, isn't it? Like when you start.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just like all jobs. But now, I think the dominatrix training, they are very well, what's the word I need to use? Like they have apprentices, yes. So some dom will take in a couple of students and then train them and then session with them, maybe charge a triple rate to, you know, the double dom with them, and charge the client a cheaper rate for the double dom, and so the student can learn from
so
the
Madame,
experience dom.
Madame Lee, are you being a dominatrix is your full time job? That's what pays all your bills.
Yes, it is.
That's mad to me, isn't it? That can be your what would you put on like a form for your, you know, when you have to fill like professional form in, what do you put as your job title? Do you just put dominatrix?
a professional photographer. Which is, I am in a way. I take photos.
Yeah,
it's not a lie.
But, yeah, it's not a lie, definitely. I think a lot, we are still facing a lot of criticism in the adult industry.
What does your day-to-day job look like? You wake up, you go to the dungeon. What happens?
I go to the dungeon when I have a session.
Mm-hmm. And what happens in the dungeon? Who do you see? What do they ask for? Yeah.
Now, I work with different people. I work with slaves. I work with submissive. I work with bottoms. Bottoms are people who just want to have the physical sensation, but they are not necessarily a submissive.
Mm-hmm.
They probably have, I have some clients, they have very strong personality and they just want to work with me for the physical enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, yes. So the reason I bring this up, because there are different rituals to different clients. So with a submissive, once they walk into the door, I will ask them to take the clothes off.
Mm.
Because being naked is exposing their vulnerability.
Yeah.
So this is a mind thing. I want them to be vulnerable from the start. Yes?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, you get that? Yeah. And then they will crawl into the dungeon.
Sorry. I'm obsessed with crawling this week. I've been doing a lot of crawling myself.
So they will crawl into the dungeon. And then I will examine them.
Ooh.
But not when they're crying. I will ask them to stand up, to put their hands behind their back, spread their legs, then expose even more of their vulnerability. It's a humiliating thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I examine the body.
What are you looking for? Anything? Or are you just... like a mole
that
shirt?
Lump doesn't look right. What's wrong with you, Laura?
Sometimes I do. Depends. It depends on the request. If someone likes humiliation, then I will anal search them.
Ah. And if they like humiliation, would that be saying like, oh, your cock's really small, or
Oh, I love that.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. Or do you call that a cock?
That just rolled off the tongue. Such a pro.
Yeah. Do you call this a cock?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it looks like a nipple to me.
I'm genuinely a bit terrified. I feel like I'm a submissive right now.
Yeah, but if you liked that, you would be horny.
I'm really into it.
666.
Yeah.
So
what else?
So you strip them and you like kind of maybe humiliate them a little bit. And then what happens in terms of like the play and the...
Depends on what they're asking for.
Can you give us some examples of what people might ask for?
People ask for corporal punishment.
What's corporal punishment?
Corporal punishment is to use tools to... corporal punishment including spanking, whipping, flogging.
Oh, all this. This is what I thought you... Yeah, this is the stuff I know about.
Yeah.
Not she's seen 50 Shades. She knows this stuff.
Yes, so that's corporal punishment.
What kinds of other things might they ask for, your clients?
Usually they give me a list of things, but not exactly what toys they want to use on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rare. They like corporal punishment, foot worship, water sports, for example.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing water sports isn't with H2O, or is it with H2O?
H2O.
Well, I use H2O for something else, but we can talk about it later. Water sport is to urinate on them.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, or make them drink my urine.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a humiliation thing.
Yeah.
So for example, if this is what they ask for, that
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
And after it's very humiliation based, the session, mm-hmm. right? I will get them to lick my boots as the sign of worship, and they usually like that. Then I will instruct them how to lick my boots. For example, I want you to press your tongue harder, whatever, or suck my heels. You know, I just get them to do that.
Mm-hmm. I hope your boots are clean, Madam Lee. And you're polishing them.
No, I have clients who just love dirty boots, like the sole of the boot when they're dirty after I walk around in the dungeon. So that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So, but not, of course, depends on the client. Some people just want to lick the leather, but not the sole of the, mm-hmm. the sole of the boot. So, yeah, that's how I will start. Then I will put them on the bench, and then I start doing corporal punishment on them.
Are they tied up on the bench?
Yes.
Okay.
Most of them love being restrained.
Mm. Do you enjoy this as well? Like, does this like sexually excite you as well, or is it just like a job for you now?
It is both. I do this for a living. Okay, so it is a job to me, but I genuinely have the passion to dominate men.
And what do you like about it? Yeah, what's the passion for? Yeah,
I have been thinking about this recently. I feel they are sharing the secrets with me, mm-hmm. sharing their desire that they cannot share with other people. And that's very special to me.
Yeah, it's a really trusting position to be in, isn't it?
Yes, it's a trusting position. No matter they are bottom, submissive, or slaves, I plan the session for them. We plan it together most of the time. And then we'll push the limits, something they can achieve further for the next session. And they like that.
Yeah.
Like whether it's take more pain or something more physical challenging. So it's not just a person coming to my dungeon, I beat the crap out of them, and then off they go. It's not that. I share a lot of their sexual desires and fantasies. And then in a way, I start to understand what is it that they're thinking. I like the sharing part. I like to understand people. And it's very precious to me that someone is willing to share the secret desires. And a lot of them worried about being judged. A lot of them come to me with a lot of guilt. And if I can do whatever I can to just help them to release that part without worrying about being judged without worrying, like without thinking they are doing something wrong. And that level of trust is very precious to me. I love all my clients.
Yeah. And do you see people, you have regular clients who you'll see more than once?
That is why planning session with them is important, because they have something to look forward to for the next session. Yeah.
I wasn't expecting this to be so emotional.
Yes.
But Madam Lee, you specialise in medical fetishes. What is this? What do you do? Are you a nurse? Tell us.
I am not. I was I was a manual therapist about 20 years ago.
What's a manual therapist?
Manual therapist. I work with physios, so I do hands-on therapy, like craniosacral therapy, sports massage, myofascial release. So I have a very good understanding of anatomy and physiology. And my ex-husband, he's a doctor. So we've been together for 14 years, and that's how I learned the trade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what kind of medical things do you do on your clients?
Needle play, catheterization, urethral dilation, simple things like enema play, and
what's enema? And
enema.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
And will this be in like a kind of medical fantasy kind of way, like you'll be a nurse or a doctor and there'll be a patient and you kind of play on that?
Yes. Medical fantasies comes in different types. Some people just like physical examination by a nurse, and some really like the physical challenge of like having like small procedures, like little, for example, like catheters.
Yeah.
Ah.
Do you dress, when you do that, do you have like a nurse's uniform?
Depends. I go for the comfort most of the time if I am doing something complicated. But some clients, they like to see me in a nurse or a surgeon uniform, then yes.
And when you do, I don't know why I want to get so involved in this, but when you do it as well, do you then... You know, like your language, how you were saying before, you would kind of humiliate them. Mm. When you're doing those ones, would you be like, I don't know, do you still talk like that? Or then do you like then talk like a professional doctor?
Most of my medical clients, they are not submissive.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I talk to them just like a nurse talking to a patient.
Just like, hello, welcome to your procedure. This is what I'm going to do to you. I'm obviously not a professional dominatrix, as you can tell.
Yeah, that was so monotone, Paisley.
Welcome to your procedure.
Well, we talk just like normal people. They like to know how it's done. So I will explain to them how this is done, or when I'm putting a catheter inside them, then I will explain, okay, now it is in. You see your urine is flowing out. That means the catheter is in your bladder.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
I know it's not always like a sexual thing, right? So would they be masturbating, or is it more like they then take the memory home and they go and masturbate to that? Or is it nothing to do with getting off?
Take the memory home makes me just think of like Disney World. Do you know what I mean? Like take that memory home.
I've ruined it.
Well, I see how the session go.
Okay.
Yeah. Some clients, they like, you see, it's an overpowering thing that not letting them to come in the session.
Okay.
Overpowering is not the correct word. It's a denial. Some clients like the denial. Do you
of
understand?
Their orgasm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stopping them from coming.
Yeah, stopping them from coming. So there are things that I would do, like I make them masturbate but they're not allowed to come. They will have to go home with a hard on.
What do you do if they come, but you told them not to?
There are accidents. Like, you know, I asked them not to come, but they did. And, well, this is gross, okay? You can...
We're up for it. We want to hear it.
I make them eat their cum.
Ah, like as a punishment.
Yes. Yes, I make them eat their cum. And there are clients, I would force them to come. For example, I would use a vibrator on them.
Mm.
And then I just make them come. But I will ask them to look into my eyes. So we have this eye lock. You see, that's a control thing as well. They were tied up. They're not having a hard on. So not having a hard on, but I make them hard. There's nothing that they could do because they are restricted. They're restrained. Yeah, I just make them hard. And then I look into the eyes and then I said, you will come for me, whether you like it or not.
So I'm terrified again.
I'm horny.
I honestly, that would be so intense as well. Just that
it is. Yes,
I can imagine. Is. Yeah, if you're into that.
Yeah.
Some of them, I'll give them a homework.
Oh, what homework do you give? I hope you're a fair grader.
they're not allowed to come in a session, but you know, after they masturbated, they're very hard, and then I send them home. Then I will ask them. Go to the shower, you have to think about me, and then you start masturbating. And I want you to take a photo of your cum in your hand and send it to me. So it's like
the real project you're saying there.
Yeah, it's like a prolonged session because they have something to think about.
Yeah, you kind of keep the fantasy going.
Yeah, yeah.
And you told us a bit at the beginning, and we told you to stop because we wanted it when we were recording, about mummy dom. So yes. What is mummy dom?
I don't know where this word comes from, but I think some people are drawn to mature women.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And of course, there are mummy and son play. It's like a fantasy thing, but that's not what I do. But they just like... they like mature women. They like being dominated by a mature woman or I have a client who likes to call me mum.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A bit like I feel like like a daddy thing, like mummy.
Yeah, yeah, daddy. Yeah. Yeah, mummy, daddy. And then wants to be punished by mummy.
Could I ask, because when we spoke last, you told me about a woman who sent her husband to see you and he had like a letter. Would you mind telling us that story?
Oh, yes. It was many years ago. A wife sent her husband to me for a session and then he came with a letter.
What had she written in the letter?
Well, I don't remember the details, but there are a list of things that she would like me to do on her husband because this is something that she cannot give him.
Ah.
Oh, so she knew she wasn't like fulfilling his.
Yeah, she needs. She knew. Yeah. In the letter, she said thank you. And then she gave me a list of things that to do to her husband because she couldn't do it
herself.
Yeah, it's not really her thing. And she loved her husband so much, then she would like his fantasies to be fulfilled.
I think that's lovely. I think a lot of people think...
Yeah, it's quite sweet.
Yeah. Don't you think people think men going to see a dominatrix are like doing it behind their wives' backs? But actually, that's so nice. She's like, I want him to have what he wants. I can't give it to him.
Yeah.
Which is lovely.
Yeah, it was lovely. It was one of the best sessions that I've had. Yeah.
Yeah. Did he come back and see you again?
No, it was only one session.
Yeah. And you did have a female client once, did you?
Yes, that was a long time ago too. I remember I worked in a dungeon called the English Dungeon. It was in East London. I had that female client, she's paraplegic. So she was on a wheelchair and all she wanted, it was a lovely session. All she wanted is to have an orgasm.
Had she not had an orgasm before?
No. No. Yeah, I don't think she had any sexual experience.
Yeah.
If my memory served me right. And we did the session. I remember I used the vibrator on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was an hour session, but she didn't come in the end, but she had that experience of sexual gratification, probably on an emotional level. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess that goes back to what you were saying before, where the part of your job people wouldn't think of is that they can. I imagine she probably hadn't told many people about, do you know what I mean? I imagine she'd really opened up to you and you were able to give her something that no one else could.
Yeah. Well, even I talk about it now, it's very touching still.
Definitely. I think a lot of our listeners and readers might want to be more dominant during sex, but maybe feel like a little bit scared or nervous. What advice can you give them? Like, how can they gain confidence in the bedroom and be more dominant?
One thing is to discuss, be open and discuss with the partner.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you just take one step at a time. Try small things and then build it up. And then your confidence will build up. But communication is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because the partner's response, the partner's positive response will give you confidence. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. But just don't do anything you think is right, but it might not be suitable for the partner. She might not like it. He or she might not like it.
Mm-hmm.
As you get more response, then your confidence built up and then you can plan something else or you can do something new.
Yeah. Baby steps.
Yeah. Take baby steps. Yeah. Or watch movies.
Do you mean porn movies, Lee?
Well, porn is great.
We know.
Yeah, seriously, porns are great. Some websites give quite good information about like being dominant in a bedroom. But still, try small steps.
I like the idea that as you kind of, as your partner responds, that makes you grow in confidence. I think that's really nice.
Of course.
Because we don't just magic confidence out of thin air.
Yeah. It's not only in BDSM, but in sex.
Yeah.
So what has being a dominatrix taught you about sex that people might not know?
You mean on a physical level or?
Emotional, really.
It's such a broad subject.
Yeah, I guess both physical, emotional. Because obviously you see so many people and they're so open and honest with you.
Mm.
And sex is still like such a taboo subject.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like you are like a fountain of untapped knowledge.
Communication, sharing. And there are other body parts that you can play with.
Oh, like what? What body parts?
Other body parts can be arousing in sex play.
Such as?
Like the head. I love a head massage. Don't shame me, guys.
No,
don't,
I just, you're so pure.
You're
just
kink shaming me.
No, we're not at all.
Wow, it's a big subject. Seriously.
Well, you said to me, I think I asked you this on the phone before, and you said to me what you've learned is that it's all about the balance of pain and pleasure, the erotic and the sensual. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Erotic and sensual, pain and pleasure, right? I build up pain by giving pleasure at the same time. So if I want to go further with the pain, if I want to give more pain, I will at the same time give some pleasure. For example, if I'm caning a guy, if I want him to take more pain for me, then I will give him a little bit, like I start stroking his cock and make him hard.
Mm.
Yeah, then I give him more pain.
It's making me hard, if I'm honest.
So I give pain and pleasure at the same time.
Yeah, because I think people imagine it's all just like pain, but what you're saying is it's a delicate balance of the two.
It's a delicate balance of the two, and BDSM sessions can be erotic.
Yeah, and I guess it's so interesting what you said about communication as well, because that's something I feel that comes up with every person we speak to on here. Do you know what I mean? About communication, both in like relationships and in sex.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in all relationships, communication is very important, not only in sex, but in daily life.
Yeah.
Right? So do you think without communication, you can't have great sex?
Definitely. I mean, the emotional bonding in sex comes from communication, comes from openness, comes from acceptance, comes from trust.
That's a nice thing to end on. People, yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
So, Laura.
All I could think was throughout that is, after you said about the water sports, I bet she has to stay really hydrated.
Mm,
do you know what I mean? To like pee on demand like that. I found that fascinating.
You loved it.
I kind of did. I'm smiling under here. And I really don't want it to come across like we're shaming anyone. And I hope it doesn't, because I think she, Madam Lee, did a really good job of explaining. But you know, it's just that thing when you realise how different like my desires are, like my head, my little head massage.
All Laura wants is a head massage. She doesn't want to be peed on. That's okay, Laura.
But yeah, I also do find her terrifying. I feel like when she goes into her, you know, and she's like, I'll tell you to stroke your cock. I was like, yeah. Oh God. Like,
you didn't like that. I liked that.
I was scared. But that's the thing. It's not my thing, is it? I definitely am not a submissive. Maybe I'm, does that mean I'm a dominant?
You could be. Oh my goodness. You should go. So she does workshops where she teaches people how to be dominant. God. Maybe when things are a bit safer, you could go and do that.
Could you imagine me doing it?
Yeah, I actually really could. I think that you'd ace it.
Be like, stare into my eyes.
Yours would all be Jaws-related role play. It's all she ever talks about. Wouldn't it?
But I just found it like, just, I'm genuinely fascinated. And yeah, like the woman that sent her husband with a letter.
That's what I love about it. It just shows like it's not this secretive, dirty thing that people are doing behind closed doors. And it's actually like, it's almost like therapy in a way.
Yeah, because I guess if you do know that you are into not mainstream, not, you know, like the mystery position with the lights off.
Mystery position.
Missionary.
Let's do the mystery position tonight, baby.
To know that you have someone like Madam Lee, who's not going to judge you in any way. Like, I feel like there's nothing she'd judge you for.
Yes, she wouldn't.
Which is actually really nice and refreshing in a time when, like, we're judged for everything. But yeah, I'm just not into, like, I'm just not a bootlicker, you know? But also, I'm not many things, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm off to lick some boots myself.
Would you go to a dominatrix?
No, only because I don't have the money, and it's really expensive. And I feel that I can get my needs met by partners, actually, because I don't have too extreme a kink or anything. But I would definitely be really interested in trying to do her job. Like, I would love to know what it's like. I'd love to go and train with her.
Oh my God, we could do it a bit like, you know, you know, Paris and Nicole.
The simple series. Life.
Yeah.
What would this be
we
called?
We could do that. The simple life.
The dumb life.
Yeah. The dumb life. Although,
you
yeah.
You see two girls, they think they're rich. Da, da, da. But it would be us with whips.
Anyway, this brings us to the end of this episode of Cosmopolitans All The Way With. Thanks to Madam Lee for joining us and to you guys for listening. If you have any sex questions or dating dilemmas, message us on Twitter or Instagram at CosmopolitanUK.
Cosmopolitans All The Way With is recorded by Number 8 Studios remotely and is available to download on all the usual podcast apps.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.